Now there's going to come one. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. And how will this come about? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, is this a reference to the first coming of Christ? Well, we think so today. That is, the church does, the average church. I do not think it refers to the first coming of Christ at all. It refers to the second coming of Christ, when he'll be born to this nation. And it's in a very interesting fashion. Now, notice this. This is a complete prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ at his second coming, as the 53rd chapter is of his first coming. And these verses, they continue the thought that we picked up at verse 3, and they look forward to the second coming of Christ. And the question arises, of course, how can a child is born at his second coming? Well, first of all, let us clearly state that he was not born unto us, the nation Israel, at his first coming. They didn't receive him. He came unto his own. His own received him not, John 1:11. He was born at Bethlehem the first time, but this is not the reference here because they didn't accept him. A few shepherds were there. Wise men came from the east. They were Gentiles. They were the ones. The other portion was not fulfilled of them. Neither verses 3 and 5 nor verse 7 here. Christ will be born to the nation Israel at his second coming. Perhaps it's better to state it this way. They will be born as a nation at once. This is made perfectly clear in the last chapter of Isaiah. Listen to this. Before she traveled, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travail, that's the great tribulation, she brought forth her children, and they will be born again at the second coming of Christ. And that sense, he's born to them. Israel is to be delivered of a man-child in the future, but by their birth, not his. This will be the new birth of the nation Israel when he comes. Therefore, this section here refers to the second coming of Christ. And I see no objection to call attention that the child is born, that's his humanity, the son is given, and that'll be true in that day. In other words, it'll be the same Jesus that was here 1,900 years ago. Now the government will be upon his shoulder, and that shoulder speaks of strength. The government of this world will be placed on his strong shoulders at his second coming. It was not at his first coming, and that's according to the Word of God. Now notice the names here. His name shall be called Wonderful. Now, Wonderful is not an adjective here. This is his name. You have it back in Judges 13:18, and there you have the pre-incarnate Christ appearing as the captain of the hosts of the Lord. And here we read, Judges 13:18, and the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? Now, the word secret is the same word translated Wonderful. That's his name. And the Lord Jesus said when he was here, none knoweth the Son but the Father. They didn't know him. He was Wonderful. That's his name. And there are a lot today don't know that he's Wonderful. That's his name. And they're Christians today. Oh, they've trusted him as Savior, but they don't know really how wonderful he is. That's his name. and the remnant were slain, we are told, at the time when he comes to this earth, he's going to put down the rebellion and he's going to reign. His name is Wonderful. And his name is Counselor. Now, he never sought counsel of man, and he never asked for advice. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Paul says in Romans 11:34, God has no counselor. The Lord Jesus never called the disciples together and said, now, fellas, what do you think I ought to do? You don't read that. He called them together and says, this is what I'm going to do. And he never even put it on his own mind, but I've come to do the Father's will. He is the one to whom we must go. He's made unto us wisdom. Now, my friend, most of us are not very smart. He is. He's made to us wisdom. We're to go to him. And his name is the Mighty God, El Gabor. That's the Hebrew. He is the one to whom all power is given. He's the omnipotent God. That little baby lying on Mary's bosom was helpless there, but he held the universe together. That little baby did. And may I say to you that he today is the one who is the Mighty God. All power is given unto me, he said. Now he's the everlasting Father, Aviad. He's the Father of eternity. It just simply means that he's the creator of all things. As John said, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And Paul in Colossians 1:16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. And again, we have in Hebrews 1:2, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the ages. And then he's called the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalohim. There can be no peace on this earth until he's reigning. His government is not static, you know, of the increase and growth of his government. No 2 days are going to be alike. There'll be no monotony when Jesus is reigning, and he's going to occupy the throne of David. Now, this is a literal throne which he'll occupy at his coming, and justice is dominant in his rule. God's zeal, not man's zany and crazy plans, our political gyrations, will accomplish this. Now, the rest of the chapter deals with the fact that he's coming. They cover the then local situation, and they were partially fulfilled, and in the then immediate future, but they look on to the time of the great tribulation for a full and final fulfillment. God will continue to punish this nation and all nations that have turned their back on him until he comes. Now, if you want any proof of that, if that doesn't appeal to you, modern men don't like to hear this, you know. They'd rather hear something else. I'd say this to you. Check your history book. See what happened to this nation now. They've had a sad, sordid story, and it's been tragedy for them. And it's been sad and sordid and tragedy for the other nations. And I'm afraid you and I live in a nation today that's getting ripe for judgment. If we escape, we'll be the only nation in the history of the world that has escaped. I don't know about you. I don't think we will. We just don't happen to be God's special little pets. Well, that brings us to the end of chapter 9.